He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Is your soul in need of restoration this evening? As you've struggled through lockdown, as you've struggled or maybe flourished through lockdown, has your soul been filled and overflowing with love for God, with gratitude? Have you been filled with hope or with fear? Have you watched the news and you get more and more anxious the more we realize that we don't know? How is your soul in these moments? Have you found a way of getting away for a while with Jesus? And that's what Jesus said to the disciples in amongst all the stresses and strains of ministry. He said, come away with me for a while. And he took them to a restful place, a bit like Psalm 23, a place to green pastures and quiet waters. Maybe it was up in the north of Israel there. I think there's some beautiful streams and waterfalls, and maybe you took them up a mountain. Have you found a place where you can be refreshed and restored? And this has been my constant thought throughout the whole of lockdown, is it's a challenge, but it's also an opportunity. When things get stripped away, like sung worship tonight, we have more time for testimony. When things get stripped away in our lives, it's an opportunity for something else, for God to put something else in. If we find a way of allowing God in to give us something that we didn't have before, and something that we probably would never have received had we not been forced to stop and think. Now, there's been one recurring thought in my mind throughout the whole of lockdown, and it's to do with restoration of soul. So, I mean, if you're thinking Alistair's not preaching the word here yet, I am. Restores my soul. That's what I'm speaking about. I've got hundreds of scriptures I could take you to, but I'm trying to stay on the point. Have you ever felt so tired that you sit in your quiet time and you can't get the words out? Have you ever had that experience? Where it's all happening up here in your mind, but you can't quite get the words out because you're just so tired. It takes energy sometimes to pray. It takes energy to concentrate. And sometimes we don't have the energy. And then we feel guilty because we're not praying. And we think there's something wrong. Have you ever had that experience? Or have you just, actually you've got loads of energy, but you just can't find the right words? Do you know that God has got words to give us in the Bible? That we have prayers right through the whole Bible, that we can learn to pray back to God. Do you think God minds if we pray to him with words that someone else has prayed before us? I don't know how you feel about that. Perhaps in your church tradition, that spontaneity is everything, and something that someone else has prayed before is just not quite as good. Or maybe it's a bit too formal. But there's a problem with spontaneity as well, because with spontaneity, you just get whatever the person at the front was thinking about that day. And there's a great breadth of experience in the Bible and a great breadth of prayer in the Bible. And one of the things I'd like us to look at in a future week is how to pray the Psalms. But tonight, briefly, I want to cover the Christian creed, the Apostles' Creed. Why would I want to do that? Well, I certainly come from a church tradition, Free Church of Scotland, where we didn't pray the Apostles' Creed in our services. You might find that more in an Anglican church. You probably find it in the back of a Church of Scotland hymn book or a Baptist hymn book. But certainly in our church tradition, we didn't do that. But there's one of the most well-known theologians in the Free Church, his name is Donald MacLeod. He was interviewed, and he said, it's really important for a church to discover what a 16-year-old needs to know so that when they leave home, they have a deposit within them. And the questioner sort of said, well, what would you see as some of the essentials for a 16-year-old to know off by heart if they leave a Christian home? And Donald MacLeod said, the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed. Wait a minute. The Apostles' Creed. Why the Apostles' Creed? This is what the Apostles' Creed says. It was written at the end of the second century. You remember when Christianity was illegal. But sometimes you'd have famous Christians that would have to give a defense. Someone like Justin Martyr in 150 AD was explaining why he would not take part in sacrifices to Roman gods. And he gave his answer, and it's very similar to this. He said, this is what Christians believe. He says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. That's why he said that's a good thing for a 16-year-old to know off by heart, because that is the whole gospel in a nutshell. If someone said to you, what is the gospel? And you said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And there's fewer places in the Bible. No, there's no better place in the Bible than to go to than John 3:16 for a beautiful summary of the gospel. But this is better than that, because it gives more than John 3:16. It gives lots of other scriptures. It talks about who God is, that he is a creator God. Or a 16-year-old would be thinking that through, all the stuff they're getting taught in school. I learned, did you know that the Big Bang was discovered by a Christian? It was a Christian who actually came up with the idea. He was a mathematician. And the scientists at that time, it was 1920, they said, we don't like this idea. Sounds too Christian, this Big Bang. Sounds like the Bible. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. So we have a wonderful teaching plan right in front of us here. If ever we're struggling for a teaching plan, we have it right in front of us. But on the days when I find it really difficult to get the words out, I pray from memory the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments. This year I've been praying Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. And after you've done everything to stand, to put on the belt of truth, to put on the breastplate of righteousness, to have on your feet your shoes fitted with the good news of peace, to put on the helmet of salvation, to take up the shield of faith and the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And when I'm praying that, I'm praying protection. When I'm praying the Lord's Prayer, I'm praying, there's some part of the Lord's Prayer where I'll stop and I'll think about it. It could be God the Father, it could be forgive my sins or forgive others, and I end up praying into that. But this here is a way of affirming what I believe. And I pray the Ten Commandments, there'll always be one part of the Ten Commandments where it'll make me think about sin and the need to confess sin. Or perhaps to pray, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. You know, a Jewish person would pray every morning, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so when Jesus was asked that question, it came straight from his own morning prayer. So the Apostles' Creed is a wonderful, wonderful resource to us. And I think it'd be good for us to take a look at it, you know, over a few weeks and look at different parts of it and learn about how Scripture-saturated every single part of it is. The Holy Catholic Church, in case you're wondering, has got a small C rather than a capital C, and it means the worldwide church, the universal church of Christ. It doesn't mean the Roman Catholic Church, in case you were wondering. And isn't it good to stop and think about other Christians in other parts of the world, in other church traditions that are living, serving, dying for the gospel? So I'd like to finish with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says these words, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What does the word creed mean? It's from the Latin word credo, which means I believe. I believe. And before I even knew it, and perhaps for you tonight, you're discovering that the New Testament is full of credos. For those who want to check this out in a bit more detail, you might want to look at some of these passages. I'll just give you the passages. Some of you take notes. Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 20. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Colossians 1 talks about all things were created through Christ. All things were created for Christ. Hebrews 1 talks about Jesus as being the exact representation of God on earth. The most remarkable one is 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. In the middle of a very practical pastoral issue, the Apostle Paul says these words, "Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came, and from whom all things came, and for whom we live, and there is but one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live." That is in the middle of the New Testament, that is a creedal statement there about God the Father and God the Son. Who is Jesus? He is equal to God the Father. Who is Jesus? He is working with the Father to create the whole world. All things came from God the Father through Jesus Christ. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. All things were created through Jesus. Without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. Creedal statements in Scripture. I believe. What do you believe about Jesus? It's all there. And you can either take the view, sum up the gospel, Alistair, and I'll give you my best go at it. And John 3:16 will be in there. If someone's done the work for me, why don't I start with this and say, if I can improve on this, great. But if not, why don't I just memorize this? And then I can say to the person, do you want to have a chat about any of this? Do you know that this was an evangelism training in the early church? This is an evangelism training tool in the early church. This was also a basic discipleship course. If someone was exploring, you know, what is Christian faith all about, they would, do you know how many years? 3 years. 3 years. So from first inquiry to baptism, they had a 3-year course. And on their baptism day, they would recite this, the people who were being baptized. And because you've got the whole New Testament here, so there's plenty of stuff to be working on. It's not as if you're going to run out of material. And when we do the Alpha course, or when we do the Christianity Explored course, we start with who is Jesus, and then we get to the end of the course, and most people say, hey, we just want to know more, Alistair. You teach us some more. And we start here, and we end up back here. So, and there's a number of people in our church who've taken about 3 years from first contact to become committed disciples of Jesus. That shouldn't surprise us. And let's not be discouraged if they're not saying after 10 weeks, I'm a fully committed Christian, because they're still processing it all, particularly if they've not come from a background where they're learning it. You see, on the day of Pentecost, they were baptized immediately, weren't they? So Peter preached, what must we do? Cut to the heart, believe, be baptized, 3,000 people baptized. But they were devout scripture-saturated Jewish God-fearers, most of them. They knew the Old Testament. They knew so much. But then when the gospel went out into the Roman Empire, people with absolutely no understanding of the Old Testament at all, their evangelism and their discipleship had to start with, who is God? All these Roman gods, it's not the same as the real God. And there was just so much to go through. And the reality is that most people in our town, they don't have the background knowledge. And we can start with John 3:16, and that might be great, but they might say, well, I don't even know if I know who God is yet. We might have to start a bit further back. So this is good for discipleship, this is good for evangelism, this is good for affirming our own faith. And as we affirm this, we also are uniting with Christians from 1,800 years ago. So what I'd like us to do to close our service tonight, we're not going to play the song, but what I'll do is we're going to just to read this together prayerfully, and then I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to ask if you're able to stand and you'd like to stand, we'll stand together and we'll say this together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And Father, we just thank you that you have been with us tonight. We thank you that you're always with us, but that when we are gathered in public worship in the name of your dear Son, Jesus, that you give us an extra grace and encouragement. And we pray as we go into this coming week, Lord, that you will go before us, that you will surprise us, that you will direct us, and that as we go to bed tonight, that we would just be very aware that you are watching over our lives, our coming and going. Before a word is on our tongue, Lord, you know it completely. And you know this coming week and all that is in store for us, and we can trust you for this week to come. But we ask that you would use us to be a blessing to others. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.